this is Craig Valentine, host of Early to Rise Radio. Have you ever wanted to become wealthier, healthier, wiser, or just have more time to appreciate the finer things in life? On this show, we reveal what high performers are doing every day to be more successful without sacrificing their personal lives. Early to Rise Radio is sponsored by the Perfect Day Formula. Get your free copy of this game-changing success guide at freeperfectdaybook.com. Now let's get started with today's show. Picture this, a busy dad, six-month-old baby, new marriage, three businesses. What do you think? What do you think that person looks like? Probably a little bit overweight, super stressed and anxious. Well, not the person I'm interviewing today. It's my coaching client, Eric Bach. He has three businesses, six-month-old baby Zoe, and he is in amazing shape. And he's going to teach you everything today about how to be a great leader, about the right nutrition program so that you burn fat and feed the muscle all day long. He's going to show you how to work out. He's going to show you how to sell. He's going to show you so much stuff, how he has an amazing productive day. And he's going to share with you his favorite books and the lessons that he wants to give to every entrepreneur and to his kids. You're going to absolutely love this show with Eric Bach from Bach Performance. He's like a little me. He's followed the path that I've gone through in life, and you're going to learn so much. So let's jump into the show with Eric Bach and find out what his favorite Craig Valentine book is as well. Eric, welcome to the show, man. You've been on a similar path to me, from a personal trainer to serial entrepreneur, only you were addicted to coffee, not beer. So welcome to the show, my man.
Hey, thank you for having me. I appreciate it. Yeah, and I've got to admit that coffee addiction is still there. It's been going strong the last couple months, but one thing at a time.
What's your favorite brand type of coffee for everyone listening who loves to know that?
Honestly, I like it all, to be honest. I get caffeine in kilos on a regular basis.
I get some of them too. Awesome. Are you an espresso guy or not?
Yeah, if you can find a good coffee roaster, then I would love some espresso. But with 2020 and 2021, coffee shops haven't been quite the place to be that they were before. So I've been making a lot more at home. So in that case, I'm an AeroPress guy.
Oh, you are an AeroPress. I was going to ask you if you do a Nespresso or anything like that.
Nope, just AeroPress and French press. Otherwise, like I said, I would sip on a double espresso throughout the day. But coffee shops, can't spend quite as much time there until things open up more.
Awesome, man. Well, hey, listen, this is not going to be a hoity-toity conversation about coffee. Eric is a muscle-building personal trainer, just like I once was and you were before you got into growing your businesses. So, Eric, why don't we just start off with a little bit more about your story and how you got started down this path, and then tell us what you wanted to be when you were a kid.
Yeah, definitely. So, I mean, first off, growing up as a kid, I was always around sports, always around athletics. So for me, the dream was to first be a professional athlete. But then, I found out fairly average genetics with just about everything. And I fell in love with the process of training itself. So
when did you start working out?
I probably started working out. Well, back up a second. And I used to actually sit down on the floor. My dad was always active in martial arts. So I'd see him on the floor, stretching, doing push-ups, stuff like that when he'd get back from the dojo. So being a kid, monkey see, monkey do, I would kind of follow in those footsteps. But when it came to real serious training, I got started probably 12 or 13 years old. And through that process, I really started learning just the life lessons you could get when it comes to delaying gratification and really committing yourself to the gym. And once I found out that, probably real high-end athletics weren't my future, it moved on to wanting to be able to help athletes stay healthy and optimize performance, which led me down that route of strength and conditioning and personal training.
I mean, that's exactly how I got into it too. What was your go-to sport?
My go-to, I was always football, competitive weightlifting, and then a sprinter in track and field. So pretty much football was my go-to. That was always the dream.
Yeah. And then, so aside from athlete, was there anything else that you wanted to be when you were a kid?
Really, that was it. And I didn't understand how people build businesses, entrepreneurship. So all this stuff is really new to me. I was just, frankly, kind of a meathead who enjoyed throwing some weights around, hanging out with his friends. And when it decided time to go to college, like, hey, let's kind of do this thing and see what happens.
You went for exercise science or something like that?
Yeah. So then my background was kinesiology. I started playing playing a little bit of football, but again, you know, not the best athlete, had a number of injuries. So really focused my time directly on, you know, learning how to help other athletes stay healthy and optimize performance, which really led me to dive into the field itself. And, you know, I found out pretty quickly with personal training and going through internships and noticing that, you know, there's a lot of passionate people in this industry, but passion didn't always seem to be enough for a lot of folks to really be able to make ends meet and really build the business that they want. And it's something that I reflect back on now that I didn't really realize at the time, but I remember the first gym I worked at during an internship and just seeing the coach, his name was Kurt, incredible guy, great teacher, wonderful coach, but he was in pain from being on his feet all day long, spending so many hours consistently in the gym. And he loved what he was doing, but I could just tell that it was taking a toll on his body and just his mindset overall.
Yeah. I mean, it is manual labor when you're moving everybody's weights around all day long. It was definitely a part of the job that's not very glamorous, and I certainly didn't love.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. So, you know, fast forward a couple of years, I had my certifications. I had, you know, all this knowledge. I could, you know, read through Super Training and give you the whole nine yards. But I got into the industry and I realized, wait, you know, all this knowledge about how the human body works doesn't necessarily make you a good coach. It doesn't make you a great trainer. And I noticed it was the people who had great relationships with their clients that really excelled. And, you know, long story short, entering that aspect of the business and working with clients later on in Denver, that's another thing we got similar. I found out that, you know, you don't have a whole lot of control when you're working for somebody else. So that led me, I was around 22 years old at this point, to really start digging into the online training world, seeing what was going on. I started reading articles and seeing guys like, you know, John Romanello out there, and then starting to read your work in Men's Health, because, you know, Turbulence Training was coming out around that time. And it really opened my eyes to a completely different industry. So I started thinking, how do I get involved in this whole online training thing?
Well, you know, if you go back to what you were, how you described everything, you sound like you were not one of those kids who was, you know, lemonade stand, entrepreneur from the age of 4 and a half, that sort of thing. Like, did you ever think that you were going to own a business? This is really important for people listening who, you know, even whether they're 4 and a half or whether they're 45 and a half, like, not most entrepreneurs are not those born entrepreneurs, I don't think.
No, definitely not. You know, I mean, I had a great house and wonderful family when I grew up, but, you know, it was also, grew up in the Midwest, middle-class family, you know, we took the safe route. That's generally how everyone operated within my family. So I didn't even have this worldview of all these different things that were possible. And, you know, kind of, I found out the way that I learned was best going to be, you know, reading and writing. That was my communication style. And just through opening up my ears and my eyes to see what else was out there, it started opening my eyes to just the entire world of online coaching. So I was definitely not a natural born entrepreneur. It was just starting to see what other possibilities are out there and seeing some different voids in the industry. And then reflecting back in my experiences of, you know, maybe not wanting to be a trainer in his 40s, 50s or 60s, you know, doing manual labor and just getting through the day.
Yeah. I mean, you know, go back to, you mentioned a book called Super Training. And Super Training, for everybody who's not in the industry, which is probably 99% of people listening, it was this real thick textbook, and it was written by a guy named Mel Siff. And like every hardcore trainer, especially who worked with athletes, you know, would read this book. I don't think I ever finished it. And one time I went to this seminar by this Russian strength coach. And first of all, everybody in the room was probably broke. And, you know, like all these like advanced trainers, they're all probably broke. And then this Russian guy gets up and like one of the very first thing he says is like, that Super Training book, all garbage. And I remember this one guy like right beside me goes, he threw his pen up in the air. He goes like, great, 4 years of my life down the drain, because that's how long it took to read that book. And I totally resonate with that. You know, you and I both have written for Men's Health magazine. It's almost like, you know, you're a slightly younger version of me with everything that you've done. You got into the online space a little bit later, and you wrote for Men's Health a little bit later. Yeah, you know, everybody in the Midwest seems to love me. I'm speaking for everybody in the Midwest here, obviously. We have a lot of people that, you know, the Turbulence Training was really popular in Wisconsin and Iowa and all down there, and it's awesome. I really get along with people. And then I lived in Denver probably just, I think maybe I overlapped with you a little bit when we were running Early to Rise out of the offices in Denver. But going back to one of the last things you said, like being 40, 50, 60 and in the gym all day, it's not conducive to the life that you have now. So you have, how old is your baby? 6 months old?
Yeah, she's 6 months old now.
Yeah, 6 months. You run real estate business, online business, a couple of online businesses. So, and seems like it might all be in fewer hours than you ran your single fitness business years ago when you were a single guy. Is that correct? And how the heck do you hold it all together and be productive with all of that going on?
Yeah, that's spot on. I mean, if I reflect back to what the early days of Bach Performance and getting started, you know, online and then the long hours in the gym, it was often, you know, up at 3:30 or 4 in the morning to write before I was in the gym from 5 or 6 until 7 or 8 at night before I basically either had more caffeine or crashed and didn't have a whole lot of time for anything else. But these days, a day like today, I was up around 5:30. Spent the first couple hours of the morning, you know, writing and working with my team on a couple of big projects we have going on. And, you know, once we got through the middle of the afternoon, I was able to take 3.5-4 hours off. And here we are chatting now. So the way that we've really set up and structured the day, and a big hat tip to you here, is by focusing on the most important thing that we can use to move the needle forward in any one of my businesses first thing in the day. Because at any given point, chaos is going to kick in, whether it's, you know, different demands from different businesses and emails blowing up and the phone blowing up, or, you know, having a family and kind of living that quarantine life that we have going on right now. So the biggest thing has been to get crystal clear on what the priorities are and the most important things that only I can do within the team, helping build out a team to support all the other areas of the business, and then staying focused on executing the most important tasks first in the day.
Eric, what is the power of the word no in your systems?
Really, I mean, no is the most powerful word, because, you know, a phrase that you like to use would be the lost warrior. If I had my druthers, I would consistently be taking on more work each and every single day. That's the easy aspect for me. Working is the easy part. But the power of saying no really comes down to being able to focus on the few things that I can do better than anybody else within the business. And by focusing on those and saying no to other opportunities or things that should be done by other members of my team, it allows me the flexibility and the freedom to be able to spend more of my afternoons directly with my friends and family. And at the end of the day, you know, when I developed the online business and got into it, it wasn't so I could work the same hours that I was before just to make more money. It was to be able to have flexibility, to be able to have freedom. And, you know, now that I've got a young family and a daughter and all this stuff going on, you know, the most important thing for me is being able to pull back off the throttle and be able to enjoy those things, you know, and be 100% present.
Yeah, you've really made a huge growth in your leadership in the last year since we were working together. So what have been like the biggest changes and aha moments in terms of getting the right people and putting them in the right spot and lifting them up so that they flourish in their roles?
Yeah, so the first thing is writing down and using a time journal and seeing where exactly is my time going and what are the few things that are really going to move the needle in terms of taking these businesses to the next level and bringing them where I want to go. And from there, it comes down to, okay, what can we automate? What can we delegate? And then what should we stop doing? So once we get crystal clear in the priorities, whether it's Bach Performance on the fitness side, whether it's on the business side or in the real estate business, it becomes really simple to find out what are the few things that I can do best, that I can really do to help take things to the next level. And then it comes down to, you know, finding the right people. You know, I found, you know, in the early stages of hiring that it's much better to find people who are ambitious and willing to learn than necessarily somebody who may be extremely experienced in one given way and not necessarily the right fit for the role that we're looking to have. So it's been bringing people on and then really making training an emphasis in terms of what we do in building the team so we grow together and that we're 100% congruent with what everybody needs to be doing at any given time. And by no means is it perfect. You know, it's definitely a work in progress, but those have been the biggest things that have really helped us get to the next level.
Well, I know what a lot of people think about the bringing people on. And, you know, I can't remember if we struggle helping you with this or not, but it's that fear that, oh my gosh, it's just going to take me so long to find someone, to train someone. How did you get over that for yourself if you had to, or how would you recommend that somebody gets over it if that's, you know, going through their head right now?
Yeah, this is definitely a battle I had for the longest time. And I reflect back to the early days of Bach Performance, where I would write everything, I would edit everything, I would put in every email, I would, you know, schedule every blog post, format every aspect of the business. And at first it was kind of a control thing. You know, it was like, I felt like I had to do everything up to that 100% standard, or it wouldn't be anything. And while obviously you never want to have anything that you're not proud of and ready to put out into the world, if you can train somebody to do 90% of it and save you that time and that effort, often, you know, at a fairly reasonable price, it's an incredible way to be able to focus on getting out more quality content that's going to make a bigger impact than getting bogged down in the minutia. So what really helped me was, you know, just taking some small steps, first bringing on a VA to delegate and automate some different tasks in the business, and getting used to leading in that specific role. And once you start to understand that, you know, when you bring people on to help build the business or build this dream with you, it allows you to do so much better in the things that only you can do. So for me, again, it was just a process of taking small tasks and getting comfortable with somebody else doing them and becoming a better leader through action versus trying to have the perfect person, the perfect scenario all lined up beforehand.
Awesome. What other habits and routines serve you as a leader today?
I think the first thing is you just have to lead by example. You know, one thing we do in our team each and every single day within our Slack chat is we have everyone write down their three most important tasks that they're going to get done. And I like to try to be the person who's first and get everything in the night before. You know, one thing that we've worked on directly is getting crystal clear on what are the most important things that I can do each and every single morning before the chaos of the day takes hold. So by being clear on those and leading my team by example of saying, this is what I'm focusing on, I'm doing the same things that I expect you to be able to do, it sets a leadership by example type tone that makes it so much easier for people to buy into the overall message and help you get to build the business to where you want it to go.
That's a really great idea. I like that a lot. And then what do you recommend in terms of communication rhythm with your team? You know, so you have the Slack channel going on. What do you do in terms of, you know, actually meeting with them or doing any live training with them on a regular basis?
Yeah, so we like to do weekly trainings. We have a weekly meeting every Tuesday morning. We do weekly sales training on Mondays as well. And getting those things really dialed in is crucial for us. We do have team members underneath us that do structure and run some of their own meetings. So Daniel, my director of operations with the Bach Business Coaching, has a number of folks that he works with directly and gets meetings throughout the week. But really it comes down to having a set structure in an organized way in which we do things where, you know, the communication aspect is crystal clear from the get-go. So we're not all chasing loose ends throughout the day.
Awesome. So accountability with your team is clear. What's the role of accountability for you as a coach? What's the power of it for everybody listening who doesn't have any accountability in place or would like some, or is wondering what's the best way to get some? What have you seen works the best? What have you seen helps you personally the best? And what helps your clients the best?
Yeah, I think, you know, the number one thing is having skin in the game. Anytime that you are invested, not just emotionally, but financially in building something and holding yourself accountable to the standards that you want and having a coach that you deeply do not disappoint, do you push yourself to the level from which you are needed to in order to get to where you want to go? So in terms of fitness, we see this all the time. If you give away free workout programs, it doesn't matter how great the program is, 99% of people are not going to do that workout program. And the same thing when it comes to business, where you can read tips, you can read, you know, hacks and all these different things. And, you know, you might get the needle going forward, particularly if you're type A and incredibly motivated. But if you don't have the guidance of somebody who you don't want to disappoint to really guide you on that path and hold your hand when things get tough and help get you to that next level, it becomes really easy to kind of fall back into bad habits, to push things off to the side, to say, today's not the right day, or I'm going to wait for a better time. And, you know, when that happens, it starts to become a self-sabotaging cycle. So yeah,
I think that word next level is so key. Like, you can get somewhere, you know, in a business, you know, a few thousand, maybe even $10,000 a month, but eventually you're going to run up against stuff that you are just so new to, you don't even know where to start, that you not only do you need the accountability, but you need somebody who's way further down the line, right?
Exactly. You know, having somebody who has been in the position that you are and understands the path and the journey and the struggles that you're likely to face can help you avoid those roadblocks. And when you can avoid those roadblocks and continue making progress down that path, you know, you accelerate the path to success dramatically. And, you know, having somebody there that's, you know, gonna help you, it's crucial, whether it's fitness and whether it's business. I mean, yeah. You know, Craig, that's why we work together, you know, because we have a similar background. We have some similar personality traits. And I know that you always have my back when it comes to helping me take the right steps and see clearly things that I can't necessarily see for myself. And it's the same reason I hire, you know, coaches to take care of my training in different areas of my life, because if it's something else that I can have somebody have that external set of eyes, they can help me see things that I can't and help me guide me on that path to success. And so I can stay clear on my focus and my mission.
Yeah, that's really great. And we're going to dive into how you pull all this off and do the real estate stuff too, because you don't just do online coaching for fitness and business, but you do that as well. But before we get there, I would like to spend a little bit of time on your recommendations for workouts and nutrition. And so if you had a busy entrepreneur came to you, as I'm sure most of your clients are, busy tech workers, you know, the type of person who's working at home and, you know, has to deal with homeschooling kids and all that stuff, but still wants to stay fit while there's a lot of food sitting around, what's your general, your main overview as to, and your foundation and your principles as to what you would tell somebody? And that really describes a lot of our listeners.
Yeah. So let's kick it off in the nutrition aspect. And I'll use kind of tell us through the lens of having our daughter, Zoe. So being a fitness oriented individual, having a business, obviously I want to be able to perform at my best and look my best. Right. So the number one thing to simplify eating decisions is to eliminate trouble foods. So here's a typical routine with what it looks like for me. In the morning, I prefer to do an intermittent fasting approach because it eliminates any need for food or stress directly early in the day. I can stay focused and I can maximize those productivity blocks that really help me get my best work done, whether it's leading my team, whether it's writing copy, whatever it is. So I follow intermittent fasting approach early in the morning for clarity. Around lunch, I automate a meal. So I use a meal delivery service, whether it's the Vertical Diet, Trifecta Nutrition. And then dinner, well, that's when it's time to really break down. So I focus on having, you know, one focused lunch where it doesn't require me to make any decisions. It's already made for me. I'll have a snack in the middle of the afternoon, generally a protein bar and a piece of fruit and maybe some carrots. And then dinner is when I'm going to cut back, relax, and spend time with the family. And through having a routine like this, I don't have to really think about what to eat because I'm not really having breakfast. I'm going to have some coffee, a lot of coffee. At lunch, at lunch, my decision's already made for what the meal is going to be. It takes 5 minutes in the microwave and I can eat and go back to what I was doing.
So are those national brands that you mentioned that deliver frozen stuff or is it something else?
Yeah. So those are national. So both Trifecta and the Vertical Diet offer, you know, good, you know, you can find just about any type of meal variation within each one of those and, you know, clean foods where you can pop them in the microwave and you're set, you know, within a few minutes with healthy food choices. Generally you can do something that's going to be, you know, paleo, you can do it, keto, whatever your preference would be. So that just eliminates that decision directly at lunch. And when you think about the majority of the individuals and people who are listening, food stress comes from having to make decisions when you're fatigued and reaching for the convenient option, whether it's passing through a drive-through, whether it's seeing your kids' food on the shelf or something like that in the evening. So if you can eliminate decisions throughout the day regarding food, it gives you a bigger buffer to, you know, maybe enjoy your meals with your family a little bit more in the evening, but just have to make fewer decisions overall. And that itself eliminates so much stress. And in the case of potentially fat loss and performance, in terms of cognitive performance, something like intermittent fasting can be incredibly powerful for, you know, being able to help you stay focused throughout the day.
Yeah. And I think hopefully people see so much overlap with our morning routine course, right? It's eliminate distractions, eliminate distractions, eliminate distractions. Doesn't matter if you have, you know, if you have a bad habit of drinking too much wine, well, it's a whole lot harder to drink wine when it's not in the house, unless you're Jesus and you can turn your water into your wine. But most of the time, when you eliminate distractions, you have a much greater chance of setting yourself up for success. So I love that. Now flip it over to workouts because this is your real wheelhouse here. And then, you know what, you may as well like tell people how the heck to get a hold of you to work with you on the workout side of things.
Yeah, definitely. So with workouts, it's almost like when you're planning out your day where it needs to be a non-negotiable task is something that you do for performance. So what we tend to do is recommend our minimalist muscle protocol here. So with the minimalist muscle protocol, we're looking at four workouts that are give or take about 45 minutes on those days.
Four workouts a week.
Four workouts a week for about 45 minutes. And the key here is you budget out that time, the same time each and every single day. And the days when you're not training, and you know this would be specified to you, you have some other type of wellness practice going on during that time period, whether it's meditation, whether it's going for a walk, whether it's stretching, mobility, yoga, just to be able to keep that habit and that consistency going. Because with high performers, it's so easy to let other things seep into life. And pretty soon you're eating like, you know, you're eating like crap and you're skipping your workouts. You're not hitting the gym at all and with any regularity. And then your stress is going absolutely through the roof. So by blocking off those time periods consistently, it's going to be absolutely crucial. When it comes to the actual training component, you know, it's minimum effective dose. What are going to be the exercises that are going to get the most bang for your buck? So in many cases, this is going to be compound exercises, but those need to be built based around your structure. So if you've got, you know, any history of injuries, obviously that gets worked around, but you don't want to focus on things that aren't going to be the best use of your time. You want to be able to focus on big movements and muscle groups, whether it's, you know, squats, hinges, bench presses, rows, lunges, anything like that, that's going to help, you know, be the best bang for your buck. But most of all, anything that you're going to do, just make sure that you're able to do it consistently, because like all habits, like all things, the perfect plan done consistently is tough to find. But if you bite off more than you can chew, it's going to be almost impossible to be consistent. So lock in that consistency first and foremost.
Yeah. And then, so where do people find this? Is that BachPerformance.com?
Yeah. So BachPerformance.com. Otherwise, if you reach out just on Instagram at BachPerformance, send me a DM, be more than happy to chat with you there.
Yeah. That's B-A-C-H, BachPerformance. Now, if we switch gears a little bit, is there anything else in your morning routine or evening routine or even around cutoff time that we haven't covered that you think would be really helpful for busy people, entrepreneurs, anybody?
Yeah, tying this back into being prepped for the morning routine and dropping the three most important tasks to my team. At the end of the day is that reverse alarm clock. You know, before I leave my office and head downstairs to spend time with my family, I write down what are the most important things that I can do tomorrow, and I plan out my day. Now, I don't always execute that plan perfectly, but I get everything budgeted within certain time blocks that allows me to pivot and adapt when, you know, I've got a crying baby or something else going on here. And by being able to operate within a structure that can flow and can move, it still ensures that I can be productive, but also be present and focused with the people that need me most.
What do you think were your biggest struggles when you were getting started with more consistent morning routines, and what were some of the big breakthroughs that allowed you to get super consistent with that stuff that's so important?
Yeah, I would say the biggest thing that was a struggle point for me at first was, you know, it wasn't that bad when I was a personal trainer and I had clients that I had to meet, you know, at 6 a.m. But pretty soon when I didn't have that appointment to get up for right away and more flexibility within my day, I wanted to sleep in, you know, after being a personal trainer for years, I wanted the ability to sleep in a little bit, but I quickly found that, you know, when I didn't protect that magic time early in the morning, the most important things weren't getting done, or they would get half done. And those are the few things that I must protect, and that time period I must protect to be able to be present in the evening. So for me, and I think for anybody out there, it comes down to looking at your schedule and thinking, when am I most productive? And when can I get these things done in a time block that allows me to focus on what's going to matter most in the evening?
Okay. And then little Zoe came along and rocked your world. What was the hardest thing to deal with at first? And then how did you get back on track once, you know, you were like, oh, okay, I see how this is going to go.
Yeah, definitely. So, you know, the first thing was the lack of sleep, which every new parent can relate to that. So lack of sleep in the beginning and just having no consistency in terms of what the hours were going to be, you know, whether she was waking up, whether she was upset and what was going on there. And obviously not really having any idea what to do as far as being a parent, because every class or thing about becoming a new parent was closed down due to COVID. So it was so it was a trial by fire throughout that process. But, you know, once we started to settle in after 4 to 6 weeks, and starting to feel more confident in his parents, it came down to, again, look at my schedule and be like, okay, if we're going to have different times when Zoe's waking up, she's got to feed, she's got to do these different things, where can I budget time blocks of 30, 60, and 90 minutes to get particular tasks done that require deep focus and deep work. So what it came down to would be, you know, a typical day for Zoe, she wakes up around 5:30 or 6 in the morning. She needs to have a meal and then she can go back to bed till about 9. So if I can get up before she does, you know, get her over to mom, get her taken care of, I can get a couple solid work blocks in and get more work done now before 9 o'clock than I used to get done before noon. And it comes down to approaching it with that focus of what are the few things that I can do and making sure that I do them first with no distractions, using pop-up blockers, using timers, to make sure that time is protected over everything else. It's not always consistent because, hey, babies are babies, right? But being able to adapt on the fly, just knowing what that next task would be and pivoting it into the next time block of maybe when mom is watching Zoe or when she's taking a nap allows me to still get those things done. But it just comes down to priorities and always doing the most important thing first.
Yeah. And then another thing that you started throwing in was the real estate stuff. So how the heck online fitness coaching, online business coaching, and now real estate and 6 month old and a wifey and your own workouts and health. How did you manage to get that in there?
Yeah. So in terms of my schedule, I try to keep different days with a different focus. My number one non-negotiable each morning is I must create something. I'm a creative. That's what I must do. So whether it's writing an email, whether it's a piece of copy, whether it's a piece of marketing material. So that's my one non-negotiable each and every single day. So that happens and it's consistent. In terms of real estate, you know, real estate doesn't really get going for most individuals until the afternoon. So when I emphasize my time on more the online businesses directly early in the day and getting my team in place with the things that need to get done, I can get most of the work done early there. Real estate tends to get a little bit crazier in the afternoons, evenings, and weekends. So think of fitness as my A block or online business as my A block, and then real estate as the B block. In terms of getting the balance, you know, what it has been doing is setting expectations with clients across the board of when I'm available, when I'm going to respond, and what the process is going to be. Because this happens in online training as well, or online fitness. But if you set the expectation that you're always available 24/7, 365, people are always going to try to access you. So it comes down to setting the expectations with my team and with my clients across the board that, you know, these are the days and the times that are going to be available and sticking to what those are. So I try to work within cutoff times of basically 6 a.m. until 6 p.m. And after that, I dial back and try to focus on being present a little bit more. And then a half day on Saturdays. Sometimes it does extend a little bit longer with real estate. And then working to take Sundays completely off.
Got it. Yeah, that's awesome. What part of the country, I know that you're in Georgia and about an hour and a half from Atlanta, but if someone was like, hey, you know, I like this Eric guy and I like Georgia and I want to get out of my big city, what part of the country do you serve in terms of real estate?
Yeah. So we have clients from all over here because where we are, it's a secondary housing market. So beautiful lakefront property, golf courses. We have tons of clients from New York, from Illinois, a lot of northern states that are trying to escape the warm weather. And then, you know, a fair number of clients that are from the surrounding states, whether it's South Carolina, Atlanta specifically, or coming up even from Tennessee.
Where are you?
Oh, where am I specifically? Yeah. So Greensboro, Georgia, the Lake Oconee area, as you mentioned, about an hour and a half from Atlanta, Georgia.
Yeah, cool, man. Awesome. And then you stumbled there and you said people are trying to escape the warm weather. I think they're trying to escape the cold weather and get down to the warm weather.
Yeah, you nailed it. My bad. Yeah. So yeah. A lot of people wintertime want to get out of the snow. This is the perfect place to be. It was 75 degrees yesterday. We had some amazing storms, so can't complain with that.
I love it. All right. Just a couple of quick questions here as we finish off, Eric. What are your big lessons to all entrepreneurs and leaders, whether they have a big team, small team, whether they have young kids, empty nest? What would you say to all entrepreneurs and leaders? What are some of your biggest lessons that you've learned?
Yeah, the first thing is to get crystal clear on what specifically you can do in order to build your business going forward. And make sure that each day you approach the morning with a clear-cut step on what action you're going to take and do it first. Because if you take that one productive action, something that's going to build the business going forward, chaos from the rest of the day can seep in and the day is still going to be productive. So that is the most important thing. But you know, on top of that, when it comes to making time for all the things that matters, and this is something we talked about last week, Craig, is you have to set those deadlines and you have to stick with them, because if you allow everything else to creep in, if you allow yourself to be checking your phone nonstop, if you're always refreshing your email when you're supposed to be there with friends or with family, eventually you're going to pay the price somewhere much beyond your business. And those are things that none of us want to sacrifice. So it's up to us to be able to set those restrictions so we focus on what matters most.
I love it. Now, switching gears, you know, what are some of the biggest lessons that you want to leave with that you'll pass on to Zoe and to your other kids that you'll probably have someday?
Yeah, the biggest thing is going to be, you know, don't be afraid to take risks, because so many times we look and we try to play things safe, but at the end of the day, and I think what we're seeing now, that there are really no safe options. And the number one thing that each one of us can do is build up the skills, what I like to call freedom skills, to really help become self-sufficient and marketable really in any marketplace or any environment. And for me, those skills really come down to being able to communicate, to writing copy, to being able to sell. And when you understand those things, you can pivot in and out of different industries. And as long as you know the product and the service and the people that you're with, you can succeed anywhere.
I take it your first sales job was personal training.
Yes, it was.
Yeah. Yeah. And were you good at it when you started?
I was pretty good when we got started. Yeah.
Nice. Nice. I cannot say the same for myself, but I'm glad that you were. The last thing before we go, Eric, are there any books that you would recommend? And in addition to that, which of my three books would you recommend, or would you say is your favorite?
Yeah. So a book I would definitely recommend would be Essentialism by Grid McCown, The Disciplined Pursuit of Less by focusing on the trivial, or sorry, by focusing on the essential few and getting rid of the trivial many, you can achieve focus and clarity in terms of everything that you're doing.
Yeah. That's the 80-20 principle, essentially.
That is the same exact principle, yes. In addition, I would say the perfect week formula is my go-to. The perfect day formula was great, but perfect week formula does take it and adds that extra step to really give the entire week a good, clear focus. But hey, if you ask me, I think you should pick up both of them because they blend together perfectly.
Well, I appreciate it. But I do agree. If anyone's going to read just one of them, it'd be perfect week formula. So Eric, that is awesome. Again, it's BachPerformance.com or BachPerformance on Instagram. Any other place that people should try and get a hold of you?
Those would be the best ones, really. Just Instagram or website. That's going to be the clearest and most straightforward path to me. Just feel free to drop me a DM or send me a message on the website. Be more than happy to chat.
Awesome. I really appreciate you, my man. Super proud of you. And congratulations on Zoe, the business, the marriage, everything that you've accomplished. And as Bedros says, the best is yet to come.
Thank you, Craig. It would not be possible without your coaching and guidance.
Amazing, Eric. Thank you so much. All right. So, you know, if you're listening and you haven't read The Perfect Week Formula, go to perfectweekformula.com. That's pretty easy to remember, and grab a free copy of the book, perfectweekformula.com. And if you want to take it to the next level, as Eric said, to get the accountability, the blueprint, everything that you need from a coach to go from where you are now, and maybe you've run up against a glass ceiling, or you know, you're hitting just spinning your wheels and you're tired of it, and you want to get the coaching, the accountability, the blueprint like Eric did so that he could grow his businesses rapidly, all three of them, while working less, go to craigvalentine.com/apply, fill out that application as Eric once did, and we'll see if it's a good fit to help you out with your business, with your leadership, with your productivity, everything there. And I really look forward to hearing from you and working with you soon.